for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, May the 26th, 2003. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Carl Fox of Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, is the final minister of this camp meeting.
Hallelujah. God bless me. Why not? Why not? Why shouldn't you say, God bless me? Amen. And God bless you. You know, a blessed man can bless men. All right? And a blessed woman can bless. See? So any time that you think that you're not deserving of God's blessings, okay, first of all, let's get straight. You're not. Okay? Bubbles popping all over. No, you're not without Jesus. But see, because you got Jesus and He don't come and go with the wind. He said, I'll never leave you, so I'll never forsake you. And when He starts, you can't stop. Okay? And I got a question for you, and someone I asked already and they had the answer, so you guys don't answer. Maybe someone wasn't in the room. It's those people that cheat, they read the Bible. But what's the reason for fruit? Let me hear some eight reasons. Don't be afraid of being wrong. Huh? Oh, you cheated. You read the Bible too. Okay. That really is a reason for fruit. It's not for feeding. You know, go to Genesis 1:11. We're gonna talk about cursed objects. What does it have to do with fruit? A lot. But Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11... started out real early. You know, we talk about fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the flesh, and this applies with all of it, every bit of it. And it says, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And so it was. And so it is. And if you're going to sow Lord, heal my mouth. If you're going to heal, heal me, Lord. If you're going to give off one kind of fruit or the other, okay? You know, you're always a testimony. You're always a testimony for one God or the other. The God of this world or the God who created this world. And I don't say that to put you into fear. But it's a reality, okay? And thank God we got 1 John 1:9 that we can confess our sins when we've been given testimony to the wrong God. And I've seen, and I probably have done it, used Bible verses to do it. You know, the Bible knows how to, the devil knows how to quote Bible. Someone pray for my mouth, please, someone. It's not a joke, someone pray for it. Stand up, pray for it. Thank you. God bless you. God bless us all. You know, when things like that happen, get a grip. Let's face it. We have an enemy. You know, he'll bring you, my little sister sharing about some rocks in the road and tearing up her car last night on the way home. And, you know, the devil, he don't sleep. And he uses things. Okay? And I'm going to get into something. I was hoping the brother would show up, but... there's been a brother that's come here for years, I understand, and I asked if he minded if I used him as an illustration, and he said, please do. But he's had a lot of digestive problems. He's had a lot of problems, you know. But yesterday I was clear like over here, and he was way over there, and boom, I seen it. This might be made out of silver. I don't give a rip. It was dedicated to evil. We're going to throw it away, and woe unto him that would be silly enough to pick it up. But he's... I asked him, I said, how many years have you had digestive problems? I think he said 14. That's how many years have you wore this belt buckle? The number was the same. You know, in my book, I talk about the little girl that cried for 2.5 years. Never quit crying. First least she got away from was a whimper. And they took me in there to break the curses on her, and I did. You know, the guy was an important guy. He's in the House of Deputies, which would be like being a U.S. Senator in Romania. And anyway, when I broke the curse back in the bedroom, there was a vase in the corner on a beautiful table. And when I broke the curse, unbeknownst to me, the vase blew up and the tabletop blew up with it. There was shrapnel all over the room, and all these religious creeps, and then when we're religious, we're that, we're fighting over unity of spirit, you know, being unified. Everybody expect everybody else to give up stuff. I came out, and they says, "You made Satan angry." I said, "I don't care." And you know, anyway, we had a little spiritual warfare. Most of them stormed out, and I stopped. The big guy that's a dear friend of mine, he's a man that I ordained over there. And I had him stand in that door. I said, "Don't you let him out, Cornell, until I say what I got to say." He said, "Not going anywhere." And I said, "If you walk out of here, you're walking out of here murderous because you hate me." I said, "This is indifference." I said, "You want to glorify Satan?" I says, "When you've seen, you know, when you break curses, don't expect things to blow up." But I said, "You want to fight with me because I've offended your God. Now you change your mind, because in just 1 or 2 seconds, I'm going to say you can leave. And when you leave, you're leaving in damnation because you're hating me and you're a murderer. And you better clean up your act." And you know what? They left. A couple of them come back. Pretty soon another man come back. He's crying and he says, "Brother, I can't hate you." He said, "I don't want to be a murderer." And in all these years, two other of those men have come back, but the rest have stood against. But see, everybody knows that they're really not men of God because they marked themselves that day. Okay, they marked themselves. So everybody knows who they stand for. You know, but when you remove cursed objects, I'm going to give you an idea of some of them, okay? But this, why is this cursed? We're going to pass it around. You can take a look at it if you want. No, you're not. It isn't worth it. But it's got two things that supposedly look like buffalo heads. You tell me whose head that looks like. Doesn't it look like Satan's head on each side?
Sure.
Very satanic.
The horns and the...
Yeah. And then you have the Indian defeated and bitter defiance, you know, and I'm not against the Indians. We're really expecting things are happening now. We're really expecting, because God told me the two groups of people that haven't really been reached in the whole world are the Gypsies and the American Indians. And the American Indians have not really been reached. They got little bubbles and they don't even reach out. So maybe there's some significance in that too, but anyway, he also had another symbol. And God had talked to me about it, my answer was, "Well, in due time, when he's ready." And Crystal was there. A lot of you were there. It was our prayer meeting this morning. And anyway, I looked over at Crystal, and she said, hair. No, hair, okay. I goes, yeah, you know. And she walks over. I don't remember what you said, but they just confirmed that I had to do something. Yeah. If you think about hair, read about Absalom, okay. There's a lot of rebellion. There's a lot of evil, you know, when people start worshiping their hair. But anyway, I'm not picking them. I wanted him to be here. But anyway, it was really a neat thing because he got a lot of deliverance this morning.
Right.
And then I said something about his hair because I had two gals that are going to give me a break. And I had a father who had been talking to me. And, you know, believe it or not, I'm a softie. I wanted to go cut his hair in private. But anyway, I said, "What, do you want to cut it?" As soon as I said it, he was willing, wasn't he? Just because he's reaching out to get out, see?
Right.
And so I don't know if they brought me the world's dullest scissors or how much rebellion was being manifested in that hair, but it took a lot of time to get it cut off. And I guess, you know, if we hung up trophies, okay, someone dumped the trophy, that's good. I was going to hold it up. We just whacked it off. Maybe he's getting a haircut somewhere, but...
Yeah, he got it.
He did? Okay. But keep praying for him, because this man has sought deliverance.
Amen.
Many of you have prayed and worked with him. And see, there's no big shots in the body of Christ. There's some people that are legends in their own minds. unfortunately. But, you know, there's only one head in the body of Christ, and the rest are blackheads and pimples. Okay? They just think they're something. All right? There's only one head, and it's Jesus. Okay? And each of us have a function in the body of Christ. And one of the important ones is stay out of the head's way when he's sending the signal, if it ain't your business. But anyway, this man, you know, I asked Clement, I think it was yesterday, as after I'd seen the belt buckle, but I'd asked Clement to share with him. Well, Clement, you've got a part in this, you know, and the deliverance is not done. But he went, you know, they spent some time together. And I know all of you have been very busy in this, man. If you haven't actively, you've been praying, and that's active. But the things that's been said against him, you know, and he still needs a lot of prayer. The fact that he's not here is probably because he has devils that really come and they literally audibly talk to him. And he cries to want to come in. And so I'd hope to pray some more. And I'm not talking about him. I got his permission, okay? And I love him. I really do. I told myself, I want to be your friend. I will be your friend, you know? But anyway, a cursed object can really make a big difference. We have seen so many times, we hear all these teachings about the Masons. Should a Christian be a Mason? My good Lord. You know, should a Christian be a prostitute, you know? I suspect no. It's a better way to make a living.
We've got more cursed objects buried out here where the pond used to be.
Yeah.
We've got, if you want to be a gold mining, quite a bit right out there.
Right there, yeah. And yeah, I know I'm not teaching anything new, but I'm just telling you, don't ever get where I've been there, done that, okay? Because these things pop up. But there was a man, never became a citizen of the United States, and he was one of the top scientists at Los Alamos National Laboratories. Never even a citizen of the United States. When he was 10 years old, he was just a street kid in Mexico City. And some men from Germany took him, cleaned him up and took him to Germany. They schooled him, and of course they brought him deeply into the Masonic Order. This man had more pure gold symbols and things. I was called into his home, and he lived, and still does live in Albuquerque. And he had been down to Mexico City. He's retired from Los Alamos. And he got convicted in the spirit of a sin. Well, the only thing he knew God was the RC, the Roman Catholic Church. So he went in there and repented. I know God honored that.
Amen.
See? Because he honors the heart of a man. You know, he could have been in the Buddhist temple, you know, because God's bigger than the goofy buildings.
Amen.
And so, but anyway, there was two men that had been assigned to follow him, believe it or not, because he was like just right up on the very top of the which is really the bottom, but they tipped it over. But anyway, they told him, don't you ever, you are not allowed to defile yourself by going into a church. Well, he told them where to go. And how dare you follow me? And they said, you'll find out what we dare to do. That night, his wife heard him let out a scream. And he was on the floor on his face. He'd just been thrown out of bed. You know how your head's kind of rounded in back? His was totally caved in. Nobody had touched him. Well, about that time, a month or so later, I was taken over there. And anyway, after we'd prayed and stuff, and he'd come out of the coma. I mean, she brought him home. The doctors couldn't do anything. She says, good, get your hands off of him. And she's a strong Christian lady. She'd been praying about his ties to the Masonic for a lot of years. But after I got done praying, he'd come out of the... When he first started to come out of the coma, he realized it was a man of God, which, believe it or not, this one is. And he grabbed my hand, and he hadn't been able to move anything. And he grabbed my hand, and he pulled it to his lips, and he kissed it. Because I do that with the priest, see? And someone started to get offended. I said, cut it out! You know, leave this alone! I mean, the guy was reaching the only way that he could. It was the only way that he could reach. Well, as we've worked, he's improved. He's never really got his strength back, but it's been a long ways, and I told her, I said, there's some stuff in this house that's got to go. And she says, well, go in his office. It's just about all in there. I said, no, we're going in the office. By the way, don't you ever take the objects out of their home. Okay? Don't do it. I have no idea what the value of this gold was, but I had close to a pound of pure gold in my hand. You know, And some people say, why didn't you melt it? Yeah, right. It's cursed. This is dedicated. I don't care what it's made out of. It's dedicated to evil. There's only one thing you do with it. Bury it, destroy it. So I had this handful of gold, and I says, my car's right across the street. It's that black one. The back door's open. Put it on the floor. But I said, I won't take it out. And she took it out, and we prayed. Well, these objects had had so much authority, but once they were gone, then God started revealing to her. And their house got cleaned out. A lot of times, cursed objects are given as gifts.
Right.
From Christians. Unbeknownst. You be careful what you take in. You be careful what you give. In the name of Jesus Christ, okay? But anyway, I said to God, I said, what am I going to do with all this blasted stuff? He's just up on the Rio Grande Bridge. You know, the water's always shifting the sand and everything. He said, just whip them out there. Nobody will ever find them. So that's what I'd done. I just stopped, got out. I didn't care about traffic. Lord said stop. I obeyed, you know. Whipped it out. But cursed objects are really real, okay? Okay, and they're seed. Remember that verse I read? Seed unto their own kind. See, when you give a blessing, it has seed to its own kind. A blessing is supposed to reproduce. Okay? Why do you get fruit of the Spirit? To reproduce. Sure, you feed on that. Okay? Of course, it's to feed on. You know, you get a lot of answers when you ask that question. But it's designed primarily to reproduce. What was Adam and Eve told to do? Go replenish the earth, right? Replenish. Interesting. We won't get into that. But that's an interesting thing, that that word was used. But see, our job is to reproduce. Don't go out and have 42 babies, you know, guys. You know, leaving one in every village like some of the gypsies have done. You know, I'm talking about you need to get out there and win people to the Lord. You need to get out there and you need to pray for the sick. You need to lay hands on them. Yes, you have the gift. Okay? You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we need to start doing the things that are needed. I shared the other day about the bastard curse. If you go out to those people that have been driven out of the churches, they're Christians, and you pray with them and share with them and remove that bastard curse, invite them back to the church. See, the trouble is I won't use the word most, I would say many. A whole bunch of the churches don't have sheep. They're all goats. The goats ran the sheep out. Goats make the same kind of tracks. They even make the same kind of droppings. And the sheep need to be called back into the church, not to be driven out, but to come back with just mean to the bone, which is loving and forgiving, okay? And the goats will leave. It's not to bring rebellion. You know, we talk about revival. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The church needs to get its act together. And the church is scattered all over. We need to bring the church back in. If they don't want to meet in under the stupid roof, then do it under the tree if they got to. But get them together. Because when the body comes together, all hell is going to get crushed. And we could quit playing church. And if that's all we've done this weekend, we're foolish and more foolish than fools. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have got to take what we learned and move with it. Yes, dear. Do it real briefly because I got some stuff that's going to be covered.
Of course, you know, we started understanding this stuff about curses back in 95. So anyway, I had known for many years that my mother was an illegitimate child. And then last year or so, we came and I saw some of those books and Curse of the Bastard Child. So anyway, it kind of went into my spirit. Well, 5 months ago, I was back at home, and God said, you have a curse of the bastard child on you. And I went, yeah, thank you, God. So anyway, I talked to Mom about it, and she goes, yeah. So anyway, I prayed for her, and I prayed for me, and I broke that curse off of us. Well, it was shortly after that God started showing me that what that curse did is it made me feel separated from God. And I've been interceding, receiving revelation for a number of years. But when that curse was broken, there was a oneness with God's Spirit that I had never experienced in my life. And then he showed me, he said, that curse also brought with it an offense to other people's sins. Okay? We are not to be offended for the word's sake. Many of these people with the curse of the bastard child on them are out there and they are offended because of other people's sins. Okay? Once that curse is broken,
take the blessing
and get rid of that offense in your own heart, and then pull them back in and show them that we are not to be offended for other people's sins.
Okay, amen. All right. And whatever day it was, we shared on the bastard curse. But see, the thing about it is if you look in Hebrews, you could take it right into this day and time, okay? And I'm not going to get into it again today. Thanks, honey. But it's a real thing, and if we can get... We need to get church back together. We need to get the pastors to grow up. Quit being dictators. Butting their heads with goats. You know, what's the greatest... What's faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is what? Authority? Love. See, love has authority. But we could... We got some churches that are literally experimenting with this. The people are going out to the people they know that have been driven out of church. And they are good Christian folks out there. And they're sharing this with them and praying with them. And I'm anxious to see what's going to happen in these churches. You know? And 9 out of 10 of you don't even believe what I'm saying. You'll never even try it. I hope I'm wrong, okay? But that's generally what happens. You know, because the devil steals right away and you're going to forget about it. But you can fill this place up. I'm talking about weekly services, you know, or wherever you go to church. Because, first of all, you know, if we're really going to have effective evangelization, I said that without spitting, then we need to bring the body of believers together. Okay? There needs to be that healing. Getting rid of the bitterness. Good Lord, you know, it took us a while living out in Truth Consequence before we found a church. Because I don't have time to pastor and plant a church there right now. But to find a church that I would take people to, it took a while to find one. You know, they're not. You know, so if you're going to evangelize, you got to have some place to take them. All right? And anyways, I'm sure there'll be more follow on that for sure. But that's the thing that I've seen in the bastard curse that we just had not recognized before. How? Because the curse on the bastard is 400 years, 10 generations, and it's not coming into the congregation of the Lord. We're talking fellowship here, see? It's a big deal. Let me get back to where I was a minute ago. Go to Galatians chapter 5, and we got two kinds of fruit here. Just like this brother could have had a belt buckle, it had been a real blessing, see? And he wouldn't have been sick all these years. Or he could have the bad one. It's the same thing with fruit. But the works of the flesh are manifest, of which are these. You work in your orchard. You prune. You know, you spray. You do all these things. And then the fruit comes. You get the blossom and all these things. And see, the same thing is in our flesh. You know, we... Just need to sharpen up. But anyway, listen to this. Adultery. Oh, we don't have that. Check in your generations. Fornication. Verse 19. 5:19. Uncleanliness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Immolations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Man, there's seditions right in the churches. That's exactly what the goats are doing. And the sheep, the lambs are tender. They're being driven away. Because the pastor is looking at the personality. Oh, look how wonderful they praise. Oh, they're so cute. A goat always has more personality than a sheep. Seriously. They're bringing this stuff right in. Seditions, heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and the such, of which I tell you before, and it's been told all through the Word, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a big deal, folks. It's a big deal. I'm not going to get a preaching going on that, okay? You all heard it many times, but it's a big deal. See, that's fruit, and fruit produces seed unto itself. Evil produces seed unto itself. You don't have to plant weeds in your garden. You ever notice that? They come up, right? See? The god of this world is who? Satan. Why are we letting him push us around? We got a good God that created this world. His authority has been broken. But verse 22, it says the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. What spirit? You know, that other stuff's fruit of the Spirit, too. The wrong spirit. Evil spirits. Devil spirits. Satanic spirits. Call them what you want, okay? See? Because it takes a spiritual thing to produce fruit. You can't make your own seed. There's never been a scientist been able to put a seed together on his own. Now, they've messed with them, and they make bigger fruit with less nutrition, causes cancer or ingrown toenails or something. But see, you can't mess with what God has set in motion. And we as Christians sometimes do that. And you need to search your heart. If you're not sure if you have or not, then ask God to forgive you anyway. You can't do that too much, okay? It's not fattening. Please, you know, let's take a look at these things, you know. We're getting ready to go a lot of directions, do a lot of things. We received a lot of good seed, ate on good fruit. You know, let's do something with it. Let's take it back wherever we're going. You know, I'm going to take it back to Truth or Consequences. What a wonderful name. That pretty well lays it out, doesn't it? Pretty well makes it clear, because that's truth. Blessings come from obedience. Curses come from disobedience. There's no other option. You know, I had a minister in Romania I've known for a lot of years. And he says, Carl, if I didn't know better, you'd talk to me to change the name of that town. He says, what a perfect name for a town. He just, you know, it really blessed him when he seen my card. You know, I said, I got a new address. But, you know, you got to realize, you know, the truth of the word brings good fruit. Living the truth will bring the good fruit. Living the bad fruit, you know, living the lies, the deceptions, brings bad fruit. You know, you could say, oh, but sin is fun. Yeah, I nearly killed myself with sin. It took me a lot of years to recover from it. It really wasn't fun, but it sure tried to appear that way. But let's get to the good stuff, okay? But the fruit of the Spirit, obviously, it's the Spirit of God. Is what's the first one? Love. You know, 1 Corinthians 13:13, which one's greatest? Love. You know, it takes work to love. Love's not like gravity. You know, this is gravity. Falls. See? It takes an effort. With gravity, it takes an effort. You got a disposal system, right? Would you please get rid of that? I told him he couldn't. He said, no, I want you guys to do it. But see, everything is built around love. You know, God so loved, He gave. Jesus so loved, He obeyed. All right? That is the pivotal point. You know, you can walk on water. You can move mountains around so you can sell the real estate in between these beautiful mountains. You can do all kinds of things. But if you're not doing it in love, there's no good. And the rest of the fruit, God gave me a revelation years ago. I said, I just need to understand this simple. You need to show me. So He did. I got a vision. And it was interesting. I was a contractor then. So there's 9 paint buckets, big 5-gallon buckets. And there was this, like a pump. Of course, I could relate to that because we had a pump on the farm. But the water was spewing out, you know. And nothing went into bucket 2 until the love bucket got full. So, and he says, now think about this. If you stop pumping, they'll all go dry. Isn't that amazing? That's exactly. It went from bucket to bucket to bucket to bucket. But love was the first place it went was love. Because, see, God so loved. Man so hated. They disobeyed right in the garden. The garden of perfection. But God so loved, even right there, remember? He did a blood covenant with them, with making the skins to cover them. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing the heart that God has for each and every one of us. But let's go through these. These are good stuff. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I'll tell you what, the joy of the Lord gives you strength. It gets you up in the morning when you don't feel like it. It keeps you up at night when you feel like going to bed. You know, it makes you move forward when your body says, I'm going to die. Joy of the Lord is your strength. You don't let Satan get a hold of it. That's something you keep protected as a joy. If he can't stop you from loving, you know what? Eventually, you know, through our thick heads, we figure out this loving stuff is fun because you get what you give. And it's nice to be loved, right? So pretty soon, you're going to love. I mean, because, hey, it's a good time. In spite of the temptation not to, you're going to love because it's a good time. You know? So what does he do? You know, he doesn't quit. He's going to go after your joy. Because that bucket is full, and he's going to try to siphon it off so it never flows to the next bucket. And you got to hold on to that joy. Yeah, we keep loving, but don't let Satan steal your joy because he'll take the strength. Ministries that lose their joy, we have a wonderful brother that God sent to work with us. Lee Camacho is his name. Lee was here one time when I was here. And he grew up in the Hawaiian Islands. He's a Filipino, and his family got driven out because they're on the very north end of the Philippines. And he said, I probably got some South China Sea pirate in me because they would come and steal everything we had and rape everybody. But we made sure that there's no curses from it. But it came from a real hard. And Lee has got such a light heart. And he's always got us because we have a very intense ministry. The phone calls come in. Middle of the night, I had a guy call and say, Brother Carl, pray for me quick, I'm dying, you know. Well, I'm sound asleep, you know, I reached over and got the phone. Well, anyway, he got healed. You know what happened? He was a contractor in Romania. He was fixing the roof. A gust of wind blew him off the roof. He fell 5 stories onto the cement. He stayed conscious. That was a miracle. His cell phone wasn't broken. That was a miracle. And that he knew my number laying there. He called me, you know, and God, boom, I was awake, and he got healed. He got up. He said, "That's okay. It's long distance. I got to go." And he hung up. I knew he was in pretty good shape because he wasn't being wasteful, you know. You know, I started getting emails from Romania, and I do get them, but I was getting reproof because he went back to work. Why did? How dare you send him back to work? I said, well, if a man's well, he's slothful if he doesn't go to work. What's your problem? You know? But see, you know, I mean, we get calls. You know, people are desperate. You know, they never bother to call back and say the miracle happened. We just happened to be going through that area. You know, Brother Carl, do you remember? Of course I don't remember when I prayed for you. Been 10,000 prayers in between. But thank God they tell me about the results of it. But see, it's neat how God will do, because Sheila and I realized that we were having a hard time holding on to our joy. And bring this guy in, and just he's a wonderful man. He's a gift from God. And I praise God for bringing him in. But see, if we don't have love and joy, peace don't stay. You know, it's like trying to start peace in the Middle East, you know what I mean? In Jesus. But peace cannot stay without love and joy. Long suffering, you won't even be able to touch out of a 10-foot pole. Or even want to. Gentleness, boy, I tell you what, it takes a lot of love and joy for this wild Irishman to be gentle. But my nature is to get right in there and just bite and shake it all up, and you know. And sometimes that's how God has me minister, especially against devils. But see, we need these things. We need this. We need this. Man, I'll tell you, if you know you're loving and things are getting heavy, start protecting the joy. Okay? The joy of the Lord is our strength, you know? We used to sing that song, ha, 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 you know? And it was fun because, as corny as it was, everybody started laughing, right? We need that, you know? And then after gentleness is goodness. And then faith. I shouldn't get a kick out of it, but I do. And then I try to figure out how to put things in order. Someone gets born again and they're on fire and they think they're a faith minister. You know, well, don't discourage them. Just they really got their first love yet. I mean, this stuff will happen. All right. But protect them, because you got to have all these other fruit flowing to have the faith. And then comes meekness. Well, meekness is being coachable. That's what it means to me. You know, I played football, and my coach hated me, and I hated him. I was a farm boy that couldn't go to practice. I didn't need to. Man, I was in shape. But then the other kids didn't want to practice, see? But I couldn't. My dad said, he says, playing football is like throwing a bunch of hungry hogs, and you throw one ear of corn in, and they're fighting for it. Now, if you're stupid enough to play this game, you're going to do all your work. Okay, well, anyway, I had a coach that just was always trying to, and he always wanted, he had his little pets from town, trying to get them to be the quarterback. Well, guess what? I got to be the quarterback, but I really had to have a struggle. I had to learn how to be coachable to a man that was being mean at me. He never talked to me. He yelled and spit right in my face. And I weren't no Christian then. But I loved to play football. And see, if you love the game, you'll be coachable. And that lesson, years later, when I was working under some leadership that kind of reminded me of Mr. Coons, I thought, whoa, okay, do I love the game? Do I love the game? And that took me right back to first fruit, didn't it? Goodness, faith. Praise God for faith, but you can't maintain it without love. See, you can't maintain any of them. And meekness, temperance. Interesting one. And against such, there is no law. Now, I've seen the extreme of this, people saying, don't you tell me I can't sin. We're not under the law. Where's your faith, sucker? Whoa. First I'm going to have some love. The more I love God, also, by the way, the more I've learned to hate sin. Amen. See, fear of sinning will not set you free. But we have got to live by faith, or we're under the curse of the law, by the way. Read Galatians chapter 3. Oh, Christians can't be cursed. Oh, do you always live under faith? Is that faith always your leader? Give me a break. See, we need to work out these things. We need to look out for one another. But let's just finish this, because there's some wonderful stuff. It says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Isn't that amazing? If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're going to live, then don't just sit on it. Get up and walk. All right? Walk in that Spirit. Walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Another thing, the reason to have a big bucket full of fruit carrying around with you is to feed. You see a saint or even a sinner, you got something to feed them. And it's not covered with DDT or something. It's good, healthy fruit, organic. Well, that's my wife's always saying, well, I know it costs more, but it's organic, And I says, does that mean it's going to taste like sawdust? But this is a healthy fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is a healthy fruit, okay? And see, both of those are going to produce seed. And that's where we get in generational curses. I'm 60 years old, getting closer to 61. And it's amazing because all the Fox males, and somebody's kept a written family tree since 15 or something like that, way back, like Whoopi. And I've seen pieces of it. They'll send copies, and then they want you to tell all the details of your family. And I usually don't even answer it. Past is dead as far as I'm concerned. But one thing that's always been a mark is in the Fox clan, the males always die between age 40 and 50. The Fox clan, the males always die between 40 and 50 years old. Always. Always. In war or just sitting there, my grandpa Fox died laughing. My aunt, some of you remember the, what was it, Loretta Young matinee? She wrote every one of them. And she also died and went to hell, unfortunately. But the thing about it is that she had written a comedy, which she always wrote drama. And she's reading it to her father. And he got laughing so hard he was sitting on a stool in the kitchen. And all of a sudden he quit laughing. He was on the floor. He was dead. But, that curse took us all out. But I, like I said, 61 is right around the corner. To some of you, that's old. Some of you, that's young. But I tell you what, according to the Bible, it's middle age. 60 is middle age. Read Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. But the thing about it is that when I realized, I went to the Lord and I started searching. I says, what is causing this? And what you sow, you reap, right? God's not mocked. My ancestors, on my mom's side, which is interesting, the Phillips side, there's always been preachers. My grandpa Phillips, when he got done with the crops, he was out in the prairies of Canada and North Dakota on horseback and buckboard. He was a spirit-filled, tongue-talking Methodist stump-jumping preacher, you know? And he'd go to the old church building or whatever there was in the prairie and start a fire, and just the smoke would start rising and the people would know. You know, Pastor Phillips is in town, you know. But, you know, but on my dad's side, we won't talk about that because it wasn't very pretty. Okay? But on that side, and I can't even pronounce it right, but Druids, the Druidish priest, how do you say it?
Druid.
I got to get that straight one day. But I don't really because it's past. But, you know, they took blood. Talk about blood curses. They sacrificed human beings. And that's what was killing all the males. That and the anger issues. That was very deeply rooted in the anger issues. You know, and I was ministering to American Indian one time. Fact is, he was a shaman. And he was so proud of being an Indian. And he came to me one day and was just spitting in my face. He was drunk, mad. He'd accepted the Lord. We'd got that far. We worked through some stuff. Yeah, a Christian could still get drunk. All you got to do is get off, go drink, right? And then he came and he got feeling guilty. The Lord was convicting him, said, come and blame me. He says, the white man cursed us with your damnable alcohol. I says, it is damnable. So you're not blessed. But I says, well, who did the biggest curse? We didn't know tobacco till you boys dumped it on us. Oh, he was in a rage and he left. I just, you know... And I told him, don't you ever come back here drunk in the name of Jesus Christ. I won't accept that. And we didn't see him for a month or so. And he came back and he come in. You know, I opened the door and he just lunged at me. And he grabbed me and just hugged me and crying. You know, snot all over my face. I mean, the guy would just, but that's when it's not offensive, you know. And he just said, preacher, forgive me. Forgive me. We've cursed each other. What can we do? I says, brother, we can pray. You know, we went through a lot of things with this man. And he got very angry at me when I said, we need to deal with this curse of innocent blood that's on you. See, a lot of the American Indians also drank the blood of their enemies. There's things that have been hidden in the history. See, all these issues, you know, I really, you know, the blacks sold each other into slavery. You couldn't have a little ship take away all these big powerful. I mean, they didn't take the weak ones. They took the big and strong. The best was taken out of that continent and sold into slavery. And the interesting thing about it is the Dutch and Portuguese didn't ever take them to their country. You know? They just seen them as merchandise. And see, there's always two sides of guilt. It's never one person is always guilty. So you guys remember that next time you and Mama, or girls, you and Papa, you know, and you're having a dispute, just go to the Lord and say, where's my guilt? Seriously. See, because it takes two people disagreeing to have a disagreement. Right? You know? See, this is blessed living. This is feeding on fruit of the Spirit. You know, we have ministers that got so many curses on them, and sometimes they absolutely refuse to even let you deal with it. But, you know, I want you to know, those of you that are ministers, I believe you all are, that, of course, the enemy's going to put these things on you. Why wouldn't he? You know, I was in a church one time, and I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Sometimes I can. This time I just couldn't. He was bragging about their praises. Just let your guard down tonight, folks. Just let your guard down tonight. There ain't no devils here. The praise was too painful for him. I went, oh, good Lord. The Jezebel was up there right here. One of the praisers. His spirit of Jezebel all over. And over here was Absalom just waiting to take his job. But see, the thing about it is that Satan, if he can stand before God in the throne room and accuse the brethren, it's in your Bible. Okay. And of course he can put them in here. You know, let's be realistic. There's only one safe place, and that's in fellowship with the Lord. There's no other safe place. You know, his ministry is steal, kill, and destroy. Now, there's nothing in any one of those that you can negotiate with. Okay? There's nothing there that you can negotiate with. There's nothing there that you dare sleep with or sit down and have dinner with. All right? It's not there. That's steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said it real clear in John 10:10. If you got that one memorized, get it memorized. He says, "But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly." See, if it was just abundantly, but his heart is so big that he said more than abundant. That's his heart. He wants it. He wants it for each of us. Yeah, and yet we got stuff that we hold in our heart that doesn't give room for that abundance to get in. We got these, all these sacred cows that if we'd shoot them, doctrines of devils. You know what a doctrine of devils is? Anything that's come into the church, doctrines of devils have caused denominational splits. Any doctrine that contradicts God's word is a doctrine of devils, whether it comes out of my mouth or yours. All right? And yet, they'll kill for doctrine's sake. Steal, kill, and destroy. You cannot negotiate with those things. You know, and let me talk about the stealing thing, okay? He's going to try to steal. Some of you don't even remember where I started. He's busy stealing it right out of your mind. What do you think it is when you can't stay awake during the service? It's the thief. All right? I get up and walk around. You know, if the usher wants to throw me out for that, I suppose I'll have to be thrown out and keep my ear to the door, but I can't hear nothing when I sleep. You know, I believe that's spirit of slumber. That's one that hangs around the church all the time. If he can't get you to sleep, he makes sure that you don't really remember what was said. Been daydreaming, yeah. You know, there's another cursed object. Dream catchers. If you got any, get rid of them. Because they control your mind while you sleep. And they will literally take your mind and bend it. And dream catcher, it's a thing. You know, I was in Virginia, Richmond, teaching, and the pastor's children had been to Bible camp. And they'd made dream catchers at Bible camp. But a dream catcher, well, you know, they're Baptists, and they the kids are all born again. Praise God for that. But the thing about it is, it's a thing that's made, you'll see them hanging on windshields a lot. Look out for people that drive that have crystals or dream catchers hanging. Because chances are they drive most time possessed. But it's designed to catch your dreams, supposedly, and la, la, la. But what it does is it filters in. It's designed, and it was made with dedicated to this, to be able to filtrate your mind as you sleep. You went to bed and everything was all right, and you wake up and you're sicker than a dog. You're mad. You feel like murdering your wife. Well, gosh, I wish I had a picture with me. And it'll look like a web. And it'll have symbols hanging down. Huh? And they always have feathers.
And beads.
But there'll be all this symbolic stuff. Yeah, about 500 years. The Indians have been using it forever. But it's something that they sell now. It's called Indian art. You know, blah, 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 blah. The Bible talks about stuff called art. Be careful. Arthur's okay, but art, be careful of. Yeah, there'll be different variations, you know. But anyway, in New Mexico, we see a lot of these kind of things. We see an awful lot of... See, this belt buckle is Indian artwork. See? And yet I have a friend that's his ministry. God gives him designs for jewelry, Indian jewelry. And he's got these Indians that he's witnesses to. And he gets them saved. He gets them free from drugs and everything else. And they make this stuff out of gold and silver. If you want some real Indian-made jewelry... It's not cheap because it's pure gold, it's pure silver, but it's beautiful. I'll tell you one thing, it's healthy. Because Every once in a while, Tom and I get together, and we go through his jewelry to make sure. And even if it's made out of gold, he'll dump it. But see, they use... The Indian wars are not over. What do you think the casino is all about? Okay? See? See, there's no peace, and there can't be peace without the Prince of Peace. You know, I mean, it's... Yeah, when we have a king back here, Jesus. That's why if you're going to have peace, you got to have the king in your heart. And we have administrational believers that we have administration for this and that, and you can... There's some valid points to administrations. Okay? We're living in the church age. It's an administration. That don't make the past wrongs right. But yet some people do. But a lot of people that are caught in the church age so deep won't let Jesus be their king because the time's not yet. Well, I got news for you. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. Okay? I'm a monarchist. I have a king. And I hope you do too, all right? We got King Jesus. We got things going on our side. You know, we're not going to see peace in the Middle East. You know what I mean? Until the King of Peace is there. But we don't give up. We don't give up. Okay, we don't quit. You know, we need to be praying for Christianity to break through down there. You know, I see the Muslims are coming up across Eastern Europe. And they're coming up, and every inch they gain, it's going to be hard to get back. We hit it head on, you know, right in Bulgaria. I mean, it's coming. Greece is pretty well wiped out. There's no real Christianity left there. The people that say I'm a Christian, but it's a political party, you know. I mean, it's time. First place we start the battle, my brothers and sisters, is in prayer, okay? Pray for the people that are being sent. You know, don't be afraid to reach in your pocket and give up a new television set or something. Seriously. It takes money to go out and do those things. You know, that's another problem in the church. They got a big church and 10,000 square feet. They got a congregation of 14 if everybody shows up. And now they got a building program. And yet we're not reaching into the world. We are not looking at the Great Commission. It's a tragedy. See, we need... And the reason is because who's in the church? The goats are making these decisions. Goats and wolves. When you see churches doing those kind of things, it's goats and wolves, baby. The sheep been eaten or driven away. You know, this curse, the bastard child, I'm going to go back there. Go to Hebrews. First of all, somebody go to Deuteronomy 23 and read verse 2 real loud so everybody can hear it, okay? Someone got Deuteronomy? Huh? 23:2, read it real loud.
No one born of a forbidden marriage, nor any of his descendants, may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation.
Okay. The part about the assembly of the Lord is right. They made it real weak. It's a newer translation. The word bastard is real, okay? That's the original. You know, illegitimate is even a weak thing, because illegitimate, you know. But the thing about it is just remember that. Congregation of the Lord. You know, I worked that, and I studied it, and I studied people's work, and when it's all said and done, I go, you know. Now, what does that still mean today? What does it mean today? It means relationship. See, if you couldn't be in the congregation of the Lord under the law, you were in trouble. You look at it. You were very lonely. Where do you buy and sell? Okay, all these things about that. Lord, what does it mean today? He says, Carl, you've been teaching on it for years. Relationship. See, it was all about relationship. Now we have relationship with the Lord. But what's the being driven out of the congregation? You know, these people, it's a tragedy. But in Hebrews 12, in verse 5, it says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you is unto children. Okay? This is a father. That should tell your relationship. It's a father talking to his children. We're hearing from daddy now. Okay? Daddy, kind of draw the kids back. My son, despise not now the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You know, children get so upset when their parents say that they... One lady told her daughter, you need to stay in here today. Well... That's chastening the Lord. You know, you learn chastening the Lord when your parents love you enough to chasten you. Okay? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. When a mama loves, she chasteneth. When a father loves, he chasteneth. And so whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And he scourges every son whom he receives. So when the Lord nails you for something, guess what? He received you. He's not saying, I despise you because you're a bad boy. You know, some of us had that kind of daddy. But he don't love what you're doing, okay? And that's what the chastening is all about. And he receives you as he chastens you. The loving father, as soon as he sees that the heart is repentant, is already moving in with the comfort. He don't want to leave scar tissue. He don't want to leave, you know, the mind seared and hard and all that stuff. But in verse 7 it says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. See? As a child, he's dealing with you as a daughter and a son. For what son is it? Is he whom the Father chasteneth not? See? Think about this. You know, when I was a kid, it was real noticeable who didn't have a father. Nowadays, it's real normal. I'm sorry to say. But it was because those kids, they didn't have to obey. They get in trouble in school. Man, I got my backside warmed if I got in trouble with school. Fact is, you know, we had a tradition in Pillager, Minnesota, where you got in trouble, somebody's father nailed you for it. And you better hope it didn't get back home, because you're going to get it again. It didn't sue the guy because he nailed you. Okay? Because there was a family. And some were Lutheran, some were Baptist, but that didn't matter. Right was right. And our children are our future. See, God sees it that way. But he says, but if you be without chastisement, listen to this, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. And see, so Satan has driven out people by using goats in the church. Now, I'm not saying everybody's going to church as a goat. Don't get me wrong, because that's not true, okay? But there are churches that I've gone in to teach at. And I get there, and there isn't one sheep out there. I just was in one real recently, a couple weeks ago. In fact, because the church was hiding from me. They wished they hadn't invited me. So we're sitting in the parking lot, and I brought 20 faithful saints from another church with me. And their heart was just to restore this church. We're sitting there, church is supposed to start, nobody's there. We are. Didn't have keys, couldn't open it. And they said, well, what are we going to do, Carl? And I said, we're going to have church. They said, where? I said, there's a lot of room in the parking lot. I said, we came here. He didn't have enough nerve to say, I changed my mind. Yet he told a lot of people. But you know what happened? Pretty soon, cars started trickling in. One did, and the man didn't get out, and I knew it was a pastor, you know. And then pretty soon, and you know what? This pastor, a beautiful man of God, just so deeply wounded, just so deeply cut. But you know what? When I got up there, I nailed him. I just said right straight out, I'm not here because I'm welcome. I know what time the doors are supposed to be open. I said, I know you guys had to sit down the street and watch to see if we're going to leave. I mean, there's no use playing games. There's an exit door right there. But see, what happened, you know, sometimes it took some chastisement. And it's a famous denomination. Some of you grew up in it. But this man, you know what happened? Before we were done, he was sitting there crying. And the ones that cried, I knew I found the sheep. I didn't have to, you know, do any checking any further. I knew who the sheep were. And when I said, you know, and the guys that were with me and gals, they're sitting there, they're going, oh no, Carl's at it again. And but, you know, one was Larry Coker. Larry Coker came down here with me one time. But anyway, what happened was when I gave an invitation for prayer, they were just, the whole congregation come forward. And it was so beautiful. The pastor came with his little child, and she'd been cursed with all kinds of curses about, you know, ADT and PQ or whatever, and all these alphabets that they put against their children's minds. Mom and daddy were believing so much, the child was manifesting it. And they brought their child to be prayed for. And I said to him, I said, sir, I ain't going to touch your child, so I pray for you. I said, starts at the head of the family. You understand what I'm talking about? You know what he said? He did just like you. He smiled. He went like that. Because he knew. See, he knew it was loving chastisement. I prayed for him. His wife just came right in and curled up to him. I prayed for her. The little girl was hanging on to Mommy and Daddy. Little arms wrapped around her. And she went playing afterwards. I see no manifestation of those alphabets. All right? But there was a healing that took place. The church got healed. And I'd shared about the bastard curse. And I challenged them. I said, this used to be a big congregation. I said, go back out there. The sheep are the ones been driven off. They're not the bad people. I said, you know what? I can tell you, and you can tell them that they can write me a letter if they want to, but the ones that said, don't go there, and they didn't show up, they're the goats. Now, you figure out what you're going to do with a goat. But I said, you don't let them run the church. The pastor had gotten so hard because he was butting heads all the time that he was coming across like he was the head billy goat, you know? And he was repenting. See, this business about this bastard is really real. You know, and forgive me for sharing 2 days on it, but I think if we put the two tapes together, it'll build a great message. I really believe, folks, when I started teaching on curses years ago and started doing seminars, which I still do, I've done hundreds of them. We started out on a Saturday morning. We might be going at midnight yet. I go all over the country doing these things, countries. But the thing about it is that when I started doing that, I didn't ever hear Derek Prince or any of these guys. You know, God took me to school, you know, and I found out I was real blessed, and I seen other people were doing that. But I asked God, I said, why? I seen the power. We seen retarded people get healed, and just all these things, broken marriages coming together. And I says, God, why aren't your big boys? Now, they think they're big. Why aren't they teaching it? Don't they know? God says, there's no money to be made in this, Carl. When they can figure out how to make money, they'll teach on it. They'll sell tapes and books. And some have come and done that. If you read it, it's pretty trashy. But if you look, there's some real good books, too. But when I got into this, I had no idea. I had no idea what I was getting into. It's the same thing with this bastard curse. I got news for you. I do know that we can change around, turn around, change to be right, the Christian churches. I know that there's something here because I didn't dream it up. All right? I was teaching, and then the Lord says, Carl, this is what I'm trying to get you to tell. You know, because I went around it a dozen times and I'd never seen it. But, you know, those that aren't being chastised and have no conscience and will do the destructive things in the church, you know, when you got somebody up leading music, and without bending up, you can see the ruffles around her neck. Okay? Things like that. Those are goat clothes. That's not a glory to God. All right? When the beautifying of the flesh is what everybody's paying attention to, that's not a glory to God. It's okay to look pretty. Okay? I'm not against that. But I'm saying, we have watched the church go downhill. We all have watched it. That's because we've given the goats the authority. We've let the goats run us out. Sheep are tender. You know, and the tragedy is especially when you got a wolf up front under the guise of being a pastor, some of the sheep are running to survive. It's a tragedy, folks. But we can change it. We don't have to declare war. We don't have to get, you know, tar and feather them. You know, having done all what? Stand. All right? Stand. You know, that's get the sheep. That's get them together. That's get them back going to church. That's refresh them. All right? You know, the church is the people anyway. You know, the church, you read the history of the church, you read the book of Acts, the church went to hell when they started building buildings. We had a powerful thing going in Romania. We still do, but nothing like it was. Because what they did is they went in behind my back from America, you know, because they wanted buildings to put their name on. You guys got to have a church. You got to have a building. Some of these people didn't have a house to live in themselves. So guess what they got caught in? I go back, and they want me to dedicate this church. I go in, and oh, yeah, the dignitaries are all there now. And, oh, they want to treat me like I'm important. I said, no, I don't want to sit up front. I want to sit with the people. I wouldn't sit with them. And it was raining. It was wintertime, and the people were standing in the rain. The windows were open and everything. But there was such a heaviness, and it was so heavy I wanted to cry. I couldn't understand it, you know, and I tried to open my, I just losing it. I said, God, I got to know what's going on here. I'm going to get out of here. And he told me, there's people out here that haven't eaten for 2 days because building this building. Isn't that a tragedy? You know, I'm not trying to say, I'm not trying to start a war. I'm just saying, good Lord. You know, a pastor is, you know, Constantine is the one that made, well, I'm really going to get in trouble here, but Constantine is the one that made the pastor the head of the church. Yes. Read your church history. You know, I don't believe he's a Christian. I believe the cross that he's seen still had Jesus hanging on it. Sorry if I'm breaking your bubble. Bang! I'm going to shoot another sacred cow. You know what? A church has to have for every 10, 12 people a pastor. And guess who's the first ones that gets run out? Any gift. You know, it could be the gift of helps in governments. It could be running the church. Really. We need, you know, a lot of those people that are out there are pastors that are so wounded. And you know what? They're the real pastors. They're the ones that will hang on to a branch and take a chance on dying as they go over the cliff to grab you by the ankle to keep you from falling to your death. You know, we're so busy trying to honor our denomination in the cemeteries we went to. Guess what? You're going to have to take an honest look. I did. Not everything they taught me was right. Not everything was wrong. But you know, the Word of God is the only standard of faith and practice that we got. There is no other standard. Certainly we got the Spirit and the Word. But how are you going to know what Spirit you're dealing with if you don't know the Word? How are the people going to know if they're not taught? How are they going to keep coming to church if the pastor isn't there to fix their damaged leg to get them back into the fold? Some of you are pastors, just because it hasn't been acknowledged, start pastoring. Why do you think you're seeing these hurting people? God's trying to tell you. Come on, shepherd. We don't have to go out and rebel against anything. That's God has to deal with that. You know? And I know I'm making some enemies because this tape's going to get in some people's hands, but I don't care. I'm a friend of Jesus. If God be for me, who can be against me? No one, right? See, we don't have to serve, and we don't have to try to be part of a popularity gig. You know, my dad told me a lot of things that was pretty good. One of them he told me, he says, Carl, in order to have a good friend, you got to have a lot of good enemies. Because people got to know what you stand for. All right? That's the truth. People got to know what you stand for. And you got to know what you stand for. And you better find it in this book. All right? You really need to. See, God can't use wimps. He'll save you, and He'll take care of you. He'll love you. But He's calling for people that aren't afraid to get unpopular. And some of you are doing that. Praise God. You know, I'm not telling you to go out and start a revolt or a revolution. We don't have time, okay? Time is getting short. I mean, good Lord, look at the increase in tornadoes. You know, the blessing on the land is rain in its season. If you get rain during planting or harvest time, it's a curse. Okay? If you get so much, you got a flood. It's not a blessing, it's a curse. And what we're seeing is we're seeing floods and we're seeing, you know, what do you call them, droughts. You know, New Mexico. Elephant Butte Lake, which is a beautiful lake, it's 40-some miles long. And it's down 95 feet. Isn't that amazing? 95 feet. It's hard to believe. That's from here to the road, you know? Nearly. That's not a blessing, folks. You know, when you think of New Mexico, pray for rain. All right? Because they've cut down. They used to, there's some great farming from there going south in New Mexico. And they raise great crops, great, great garden crops and green chili, which I love, and red chili, but a lot of stuff. But they're given acre inches this year to irrigate instead of acre feet. Most of them to prepare the land to plant. Now, they have dug big wells, and they can irrigate from those wells, but it's going to, the family farmer's in a lot of trouble. This is a curse. But you know what? When food comes short, what happens to people? What are they living under? Famine. Do you think that these things can't happen in America? Tell you what, it's happening in some places already. You know, let's get the church together. Honest folks, please. If you don't remember anything I've ever said or done, hear me on this, okay? Go to the Lord. Pray about it. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, stand, please. Everybody, please stand. Please stand. You're a man of God too, son. Father, I know some of you even it's hard to stand, but if you can't stand, stand in your heart. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. We love you. We haven't shown it well, but we love you. Father, I just want everybody to repeat a prayer with me, whatever the Lord gives me. Father God, in the name of Jesus,
Father God, in the name of Jesus,
we come before you.
We come before you.
And we repent.
And we repent
for having driven the
lambs
into the fields and woods.
That
we have taken away their place that the sheepfold to come into.
And we repent
for those that are hardened of heart and cannot see it.
For those who are hardened of heart and cannot see it.
Father, please work in them.
Father, please work in them.
I break the curse of the bastard off the church in America today.
I break the curse of the bastard off the church in America today.
And Father, please.
And Father, please.
We beg you.
We beg you.
Chastise us.
Chastise us.
Cause us, Father, to see our wrongs.
Cause us, Father, to see our wrongs.
And give us the heart.
And give us the heart.
To care.
To care.
Help us in the name of Jesus.
Help us in the name of Jesus.
To cause the church to turn.
To cause the church to turn.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We call the lambs and we call the sheep.
We call the lambs and we call the sheep.
Come back.
Come back.
We call the shepherds.
Come back.
And Father, we thank you.
Father, we thank you.
For driving away the wolves.
For driving away the wolves.
And the goats that act like sheep.
And the goats that act like sheep.
And in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
We will move forward.
We will move forward.
Help us to remember.
Help us to remember.
That we have made a commitment.
That we have made a commitment.
Those of you who don't want to make it, sit down. Okay? You have a right to do that. Father, we have made a commitment.
And we ask
to give you give us the strength.
You give us the strength.
And drive out the spirit of cowardness in us. That we not be worried about what people will think.
We call down blessings.
On every one of those sheep out there.
On every one of those sheep out there.
Cause them to hunger.
Cause them to hunger.
Lead us to them.
Lead us to them.
Father, I thank you for a revival.
Father, I thank you for a revival.
That starts by bringing the sheep together.
That starts by bringing the sheep together.
And Father, in the name of Jesus.
And Father, in the name of Jesus.
We love you.
We love you.
We praise and thank you.
We praise and thank you.
For your forgiveness.
For your forgiveness.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. You can sit down.
Amen.
You know, and here's the next thing that God's already shown me on this. Do you know who those sheep have been hanging out with? The sinners. So guess who they're going to bring into the church? Isn't that what we want?
Amen.
See? I know this is of God because I'm not smart enough to think something like this up. And I know it'll work if we'll do it. And you can say I'm dumber than whatever. And in some things I am, I won't deny that. But when God shows us something, we're real dumb if we don't move with it. You know, deliverance is very important, believe me. But the greatest deliverance is to bring the family together. Real family reunions. Real. Getting a taste of what eternity is going to be like. We all got people we love that we're waiting to be reunited with again. You know, but we got people out there that we love we don't even know. Let's draw them in. Please, hear me. You know, every one of you today knows somebody you can go talk to. Is there anybody here that doesn't know a Christian that don't go to church? You all know Christians that don't go to church, right? And they'll talk Bible, won't they? They love the Lord. Yeah, very possibly, in many cases, more than we do. You know, I mean, they're ready. You know, it starts out, ask them to forgive us, even if we're not guilty. What's, you know, it says in Peter, this is Carl's way of talking, but it says, so what's the big deal when you're reproved and you take it patiently? So where's that big deal? The big deal is when you're not guilty and you say, I'm sorry. That's thankworthy with God. You know, so we can go apologize for what we're not guilty of. We can go to them and say, I'm sorry we ran you out of the church. You just do what the Lord leads you to do, okay? But pray with them and break the curse of the bastard. Tell them, I'm not calling you names, but that's the curse that's on you. That don't mean you're a bastard, okay? That's the curse that's on you. Just leave it at that. God can work it, because otherwise you might start a holy war there. But please, let's start moving on this. Some of them people are going to die next week. And by the way, there's people that I hear talking about, I'm just waiting for the Lord to show me my ministry. There's such a dynamic need for ministries and rest homes. Okay? Got real quiet. Tell you what, some of them people are just a few heartbeats from death and going to hell. And it is awesome to go in there and have them come to the Lord. All right? And it's awesome to watch them get healed and figure out how to get out of the rest home. And dealing with the administrators. You know, we had a lady by the name of Ethel. And they told her, she called the next day. She said, well, I taught on faith. We had a little group of them. They got together. It's funny. You know, they didn't like me being there. So that when they bring me people that were in comas, you know, laying there like that. And, you know, just or people that their pants were full and everything else. You know, well, the love of God goes beyond the smell in your nostrils. And but it was amazing. We'd start singing. And we had this lady start beating out the ivories, you know, and she could beat them really beautiful. Me, I can play a radio, you know, if I can get tuned to the channel. But anyway, she just really do a job. And these, I watched people come out of comas, you know, as a minister. There's so much that can be done, you know. We've got comfortable and we think we've done a great thing because we made it to church 3 Sundays out of the month. You know, seriously, there is such a need out there. We don't know. Some of us might end up one of them places. There's a great need. But take the camp to them. What you learn, take it back out. That's what it's for. This is a place people get trained and go out. That's been the vision since day one, hasn't it? You know? And it still is. So you all are learning, and you're learning. And you know, when we quit learning, we start dying. So let's keep learning. We're getting close. I went over? Okay. I just want to say I love you, okay? And go home safely. Put to work what you've been learning, all right? Put it to work, because then you're investing. There are people, lives are changed by your testimony, okay? So give testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ, I love you. I really do. That's why I come here, because I love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.